Greetings, saints. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we know in part, Lord, and we prophesy in part, and we assimilate knowledge in part, and we ask you to show us the whole picture, Lord. And if we've got any mistakes, please show those to us too. We want to know the truth. So we thank you so much for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're trying to assimilate dreams and visions, prophecies, words from God, knowledge we've received, to see the truth of what's coming. And of course, we're still searching. Most of what we have to share with you today is probably in part. So when the Lord gives more, we will share it. Or when the Lord corrects any of this, we'll share it. It's looking more and more like the September 23rd Revelation 12 sign may be when the man-child ministry is born, which, by the way, only the virgin bride and a few shepherds knew about it. So this is not going to be a splash all over the place if something happens. It's going to be a revelation that slowly gets out. And especially after the anointing, because then you're going to start seeing, you know, signs and wonders and turnarounds of sorts, you know, for the kingdom people and judgment on the wicked. So you'll be seeing those things. And we know that after the birth, that he is caught up to the throne and begins the ministry, possibly a few days later. So we'll just share with you what we got. Sandy Shaw asked the Lord what was coming after our fast in September, which would be the 28th/29th, since we didn't all start at the exact same day. And she got Haggai 2:3-23. And then Sandy asked again and got the same verses, all by random. That's pretty amazing. But, and of course, this text is all about building the kingdom after a great shaking. And also when they quit doing their own thing and started building the temple. They were building their house and they got rebuked. The Lord wanted them to build his house. So keep that in mind, you know, because a lot of people are running everywhere and they're not doing the things that are important. And I believe this rebuke is coming. So let me read this before I go on to other things. Haggai 2:3. Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? That's the former reign glory. And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? Well, the church is a mess. It's a great falling away from the former reign glory, obviously, for anybody that's got eyes to see, which many don't, most don't. Hope God changes this quickly. Verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means born from Babylon. And he represents the first fruits leadership to come out of apostasy or Babylon to build the kingdom. This is coming. This is the man-child ministry that's coming. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, start building the kingdom. I will help you. I will empower you. Right? According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. In other words, after the Red Sea. And my spirit abode among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. Well, now this was also spoken of by Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, 25 through 29, as the great shaking that separated those who could be shaken from those who could not be shaken. Now let me say, the word things there was added in. It's not in the numeric. So he's not talking about shaking of things. He's talking about shaking of people. The things, of course, around us shake the people. But he's talking about, if you understand that things is not in there, you understand that he's talking about shaking people. And by the things around them. Okay? And the precious of all nations shall come. Now we believe that's the Lord. The Lord is coming. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, the glory of the Lord's presence is going to begin with the first fruits and be spread throughout the true church. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Oh yes, and he can give it to you to take care of any needs you have. Just remember that. We've been promised quite a bit to help God's people. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. Yes, and that's because the latter rain is greater than the former rain. It's the whole world instead of a little place in the Middle East, right? Saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace. I tell you, when the glory of the Lord, the latter rain anointing, falls upon you, you will have peace in the midst of the storm. And that also is, thus saith the Lord of hosts, right? In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any food, shall it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by reason of a dead body, in other words, not sanctified from the old man, who's a dead body, right? In other words, separated or sanctified. Here's somebody that touches it. They're not sanctified. They're not separated from it, right? Touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Well, that's according to the law, which is a type and a shadow for us, right? So said Paul. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me. Well, what were they? They were what in our day is the church, which has fallen into Babylonish apostasy. And what they've built has no resemblance to the kingdom of God or the word of God. And God is coming to make a change in that. He's going to rebuild it. And those that won't help him to rebuild it will be gone. Okay? Saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Yep, everything is unclean that the church has built. It's all apostasy, it's all Babylon. Coming out of Babylon and going back to our nation represents this rebuilding of the kingdom, of course. Think about it. Well, God's got to rebuild the kingdom because it's been in Babylonish captivity and the people haven't even been there. They've been in captivity. They're not on their promised land. So here we hope. We're getting ready to start building the kingdom. And verse 15, and now I pray you, consider from this day and backward, before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And when one came to a wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and with all the work in all of the work of your hands, because it was all unclean. Everything they've built and they called the kingdom of God is not. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken, just as Haggai said, just as Paul said, it's going to be shaken. And if it's made by man's hands, it's going to fall. He says, yet you turned not to me, says the Lord. So he cursed them. They didn't live under the blessings of the kingdom because they weren't building the kingdom. The Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everybody's seeking the things. He says, no, seek the kingdom. Like the birds and the flowers, they don't toil and they don't dress themselves and they don't store up in barns, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. In other words, they're not even working for a living, and yet God's taking care of them. What's going to happen when you go into the wilderness and you can't have a job in this system? Well, guess what? God said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. You just build the kingdom, right? So when they were building their own house, their prosperity was cursed by God. He said, consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. So he says, now consider this, you know, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. But from this day will I bless you. So they started the foundation and God blessed them from that day on. Before that, no blessings. When they began to build God's house according to the scripture, not according to dead religion, they were blessed. And the word of the Lord came in the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So twice he tells us there's mighty shakings going to happen at this time. And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I believe that's the deep state and every other thing Pharaoh has built, you know, to bring the people of God into captivity, right? He's going to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots. Now he's applying this coming out of Babylon to Pharaoh's chariots. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down. So, in other words, those that chase the people of God are all going to be like it was at the Red Sea. So when this shaking comes, it's going to be like it was at the Red Sea. Everyone by the sword of his brother. Well, that wasn't the Red Sea, but he's applying another parable here. Like in Jehoshaphat's time when three armies came against them as one, and God scattered them and caused them to fight one another until Jehoshaphat and his people at Jerusalem had to do nothing. They didn't have to do anything. The Lord just took them out. The Lord went and fought. Stand still and see the salvation of God, right? Kind of like Moses at the Red Sea. Yeah. So, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. And a signet is a sign of authority. A signet would be what the king gave to the bride and the man-child, Mordecai. Right? The sign of authority. They could seal it with the king's ring, right? Okay, so on the 8th, Eve Brast wrote this. I've been thinking about your comment about how this house closing on the 28th brings us to the close of our 40-day fast. Well, let me just say, some of us started the fast on the solar eclipse, August 21st, and some the day before. So the end of the fast would be September 28th/29th. Okay? And she goes on to say, so yesterday I asked the Father if there was a spiritual significance to this, and I got three heads. She said, I think it's amazing that Sandy thought to ask what was coming after our fast in September, which is my same question concerning the 28th. Yes, it is. Okay? They're asking what's going to happen after our fast. And our fast ends the 28th and 29th, depending upon when you started, right? So what's going to happen? And then we saw, well, a great shaking is going to change everything, and a Zerubbabel is going to come to begin to rebuild the kingdom, and the people are going to quit building their own house, and they're going to start building God's house, which is who? The people of God. Amen. So, that was pretty good. She said, I asked him for a word about this and received Psalm 115 and 9. My finger was on, O Israel. And the context was 9 through 14. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, meaning he's going to protect them and he's going to empower them, right? O house of Aaron, which is the high priest, Jesus, in whom, by the way, the man-child will be manifested. In other words, Jesus coming in the man-child as high priest. He's got just coming in a different body of the Son of David this time than he was the first time. The first was an individual body because he had an individual nation to deal with. And now it's a corporate body because he's dealing with the church in all nations. The whole parable has expanded now. He says, trust ye in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I wanted you to be sure and catch that. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Because the house of the high priest is who? That's those who follow Jesus, right? He is the high priest. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord increase you more and more, you and your children. This is what's coming, folks. I mean, for those who are truly disciples of Christ, meaning learners and followers, and not followers of religion in Babylon, you can't build the kingdom in Babylon. It has to be built on the promised land. You know, if you're in Babylon, come out from among them. Come out of the harlot. That's what it is. That's what it's called in the Bible, right? Come out. Go read your Bible. Don't waste your time with religion. I then asked for a word concerning what will happen on the 28th and received Jeremiah 33 and 12 in context from 10 through 18. And my finger was on a habitation of shepherds. Habitation of shepherds. She said Sandy had worded her question after the fast, and I worded my question on the 28th, which that's when that would have been when she started the fast, the end of when Eve started the fast. Some started a day later on the eclipse, okay, which would be the 29th. So I asked Father if this word in Jeremiah was for the day of the 28th and got three heads. What's the chances of that? Verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, yet again there shall be heard in this place, which is the promised land, which they had departed from to go to Babylon, which is where the church is today, whereof ye say, it is waste, and without man and without beast, even the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate. Without man and without inhabitant and without beast. Now, where can you build the kingdom in Babylon? You cannot, and they are not doing it. And their works are all Babylonish, and the Lord is disgusted with it, just as he says in Haggai chapter 2. He's tired of you building your own house and not his house, because that's all it is. It's a man's house. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. Well, that's what you got to find in Jerusalem, is the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. But it was waste before this. It was waste. There was no voice of the bridegroom or voice of the bride. The voice of them that say, "Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. And them that bring sacrifices of thanksgiving into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captivity of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord." In other words, back when God's people dwelt on their promised land, not in Babylon, on their promised land. Notice when they backslid and they got Babylonish, they were taken captivity to Babylon, which the Bible calls the harlot. Okay? But God said, "I'm going to bring them back." So those captive to Babylon will return to build the kingdom of Bible Christianity again, which they departed from. This restoration of the kingdom and temple began in Haggai 2 at the great shaking. Did you notice when I read that? Now, the second earthquake in Matthew, there was two earthquakes in Matthew. One was at the death of Jesus, and then one was at the resurrection of Jesus. The one at the resurrection of Jesus is the great earthquake, and it's the New Madrid. The East Coast begins first. The New Madrid happens, and then the West Coast and the Tennessee Valley, both are shaken. Maybe at the same time or almost the same time. Jesus, the man-child, died with an earthquake and was resurrected on a great earthquake. The resurrection of the man-child and the earthquake coincides with the high priest going into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, which is what? Right after our fast. On the Day of Atonement, to decide whose sins would be covered and who would be under judgment. Let me try to explain that to you. Okay. Yom Teruah, which they now call this day Rosh Hashanah, is the Day of Trumpets. They blow the trumpet. This was to begin 10 days. And some say that that's September the 20th. Some say the 21st. Depending upon whose calendar you use. And this begins the 10 days of awe or repentance, so that God's people can be ready for the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, 10 days later. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement is known for two things, atonement and judgment. Remember the Yom Kippur War? Yeah. So, this is preparation for forgiveness, this 10 days of repentance. It's preparation for forgiveness by the blood covering for those who are qualified, or else judgment for those who are not under the blood and not qualified. You understand what I'm saying? Because atonement is a covering, but you have to qualify for that covering. I'll share that with you in a minute. The Day of Atonement, meaning covering. Atonement means covering. And it starts like I said, sundown, September 29th or 30th, depending upon whose calendar is used. So our fast ends on 28/29 and leads to the Day of Atonement. I mean, the end of it is at the Day of Atonement. Isn't that something? Well, we're fasting, of course, to repent and to draw close to the Lord and to, you know, search our hearts and to hold fast to the faith in the blood covenant and so on and so forth. So repent and believe, basically, is what we're doing. And the last 10 days are known throughout biblical Israel history as the days of repentance to prepare for Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is the day, the only day, that the high priest, who is now Jesus, enters the Holy of Holies of the temple. Now, what's the temple now? It's the people. It's not a building. Enters the Holy of Holies, which would be what part of the body? You remember in Revelation chapter 11, he speaks about those who are in the outer court, who are given to be trampled underfoot, and those in the Holy of Holies who were measured off. They weren't trampled underfoot. So this temple represents all the people of God, from the Holy of Holies to the outer court. You live somewhere in that temple. So the high priest entering the Holy of Holies would be him entering the holiest of the people, which is the man-child, to make atonement, which is covering, for those who are eligible, so that they may escape the judgment for sin. So, who is eligible for the blood covering? Well, that's pretty easy to answer. I mean, there's lots of verses. I'll just share a few with you. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after that we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. So there you go. You don't have a blood covering. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So this is what they get. They don't get forgiveness because of the covering, because of Yom Kippur. They get judgment. Those who sin willfully, after they know it's sin and they're going to do it anyway, they get judgment. They don't get forgiveness. And the fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. By the way, there's a fire coming upon the earth. We'll talk about it a little later. Out of heaven, fireballs. Many out there have seen them in their dreams. Well, they're coming. And it is for this purpose. Okay. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light. Now, that's not walking in the light of your church. That's walking in the light of the Word. You can't deny the Word to follow an idol, whether it's a man or whether it's his building or whether it's his religion. You can't do that. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, that's Jesus, we have fellowship one with another. First of all, we don't break up into denominations. We have fellowship one, that's faction, right? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there you have a blood covering for the people who walk in the light. If you walk in darkness, do you have a blood covering? Well, no. Now, if you're ignorant, that's one thing. If you're rebellious, that's another. Ignorance is covered by the blood. Rebellion is not. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, we have these 10 days of awe, 10 days of repentance leading up to the sacrifice of the atonement. Right? Matthew 12 and 31, "Therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven." Blasphemy is a word, blasphemio, which means to speak against. To speak against the Spirit. You know, when Jesus warned about this, it was because the Pharisees were saying he was doing his works by Beelzebub. And he cautioned them quickly. "Every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven." I want to tell you something. There's people out there that say, that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Can you imagine? Where in the Bible does it say that? "If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God." The Bible doesn't have anything bad to say about tongues. It calls it a gift from God. Paul said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all." That's just one example. There's lots of things that people attribute to the devil, which are the Holy Spirit. Things of the Holy Spirit. How do you know what's right and wrong? You have to read the Word. Don't take a man's word for this. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as you can see what this verse says. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I want to say this too, while I'm at it. I run into a lot of people over the years that the devil told them that they committed the unpardonable sin. But they still had a conscience. They still wanted to please God. And it just didn't feel right in my spirit. And I just told them, I believe this is the devil. I'm not saying everybody. There is some people who have committed the unpardonable sin. But many people are just under the spirit of condemnation. And he'll use anything he can use to separate you from faith. Because if you got condemnation, you don't have faith. If you don't have faith, you got nothing. Because that's where you receive all the blessings of God, including forgiveness, right? So just remember that. But people who are blaspheming, they're not going to be forgiven for that. They're going to be chastened and beaten and whatever. And Matthew 6 and 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So if you don't forgive their trespasses, you don't have a blood covering. You don't have the forgiveness of God. "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Some people say, "Oh, I got the blood covering. I'm automatically forgiven." No, God doesn't say he will forgive you when you don't forgive others. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. If you sow unforgiveness, which is criticism, bitterness, anger, resentment, on and on and on. All of these are unforgiveness. If you've got unforgiveness, get rid of it. You've got a few days left until the timing of God's judgment. And, of course, that's why we're fasting. We were told by the Lord to fast for 40 days. So we've been doing that. And this is a liquid-only fast. It's not quite as hard as a nothing fast. So if you forgive, you will be forgiven. And that forgiveness comes from the blood covenant. It comes from the atonement. Right? "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And Mark 11 and 25, "And whensoever ever you stand praying," this comes right after Mark 11 and 24, where God says, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them." But he puts a condition here. "And whensoever you stand praying, meaning there's a condition to answered prayer. Whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Meaning, a condition of getting prayers answered is to be forgiven. This is blocking many people's prayers. Many. Criticism, faction, hatred, all of these are unforgiveness. Judgment begins for those who are not eligible through repentance and faith to the Passover lamb, right? The earthquakes and martial law, I believe, is going to bring much of the church into captivity. And let me tell you, you don't know what's going to happen to you after that. When you end up in a FEMA camp or something like that, look at how many people are fleeing from the hurricanes. You know, and the Lord has told us He's going to scour the coast in order to get people to move away from there, because there are even worse things coming to the coast. This is the mercy of God. The fact that Irma has more so gone inland just makes the hurricane, by the way, break up faster, which is the mercy of God and the prayers of God's people, you know. But it's basically been scouring both coasts so far of Florida. And, gosh, many, many people have left Florida. And this removing people away from the coast is to spare them from the earthquakes, the tsunami, and then the fire. Anyway, back to our text, which was given to Eve. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 12, thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet again shall there be in this place, which is waste, without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof, a habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, the shepherds and their flocks were in Babylon, don't you know? I mean, he just mentioned further up in this text that there was nothing there. It was waste. There were no people there. And now he's bringing the shepherds and flocks to lie down on their promised land, or their land of promise. This is where our promises are all founded, right? Back to faith in the promises, not to faith in what you've done or what you can do or what your church is or who your preacher is or any of these things. All idols, right? So, shepherds and their flocks were abiding in the field when the birth of the man-child, Jesus, was announced by the angels. Now, I believe this is a sign of the Revelation 12 birth of the man-child body of Jesus, right? We're all supposed to be the body of Jesus, but let's face it, the body of Christ has one person living in it, and that's Jesus. And He is the Word of God. And so a lot of people don't really qualify. They're not abiding in Christ, nor is He abiding in them. And it's really all their fault, right? So, what did I say? The angels announced the birth of Jesus to shepherds with their flocks. Luke 2 and 8 says, and there were shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field, and keeping watch by night over their flock. Of course, it's not winter, or they wouldn't be abiding in the field, right? And we've been told there's a spring in the fall. Spring, of course, is when God's people fled Egypt. They had the Passover, and then they fled Egypt. That was spring. But He said spring was going to come in the fall. The fall starts on the 21st, right? And yet the man-child is The sign of the man-child is the 23rd. So it's before winter. And it's during fall. Okay. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, by these shepherds with their flocks, right? And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. In other words, he was giving, enlightening them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Can you imagine? I mean, think about this happening in our day. Our Lord Jesus is coming. Oh, yes, he will walk in people. But that's what the Epiphany is. People aren't recognizing the two comings of the Lord. One of them is the Epiphany, and one of them is the Parousia. The Parousia is his physical coming, and the Epiphany is his coming in his people. He's not coming for anybody but himself. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. You understand? Jesus is the one going to heaven, the body of Christ, the body in whom Christ, the Word of God, lives. So be not afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day, the day of the birth. The announcement went out to just a few folks, you know. This day, there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, he was the Son of Man, according to Romans 1 and 3, and he was the Son of God. He was the Son of David, and he was the Son of God. The Son of God dwelt in a body of the Son of David. That's what the Bible says. And so it is this time, too. And this is the sign. Uh-oh. What is Jesus' birth a sign of? It's a sign of Jesus coming in the man-child body to repeat history. This is a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased. Peace. And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, yes, I would too, and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken unto them about this child. And all that heard it, so there must have been other people there, a few, all that heard it wondered at the things which were spoken unto them by the shepherds. So the faithful shepherds, or pastors, it's the same word, right, will spread the witness of the birth of the man-child, because just a few are going to know about this. People are looking up and saying, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, because this is the sign in the heavens of Revelation 12, and the rapture is going to happen. And No. Go back and look at the type and the shadow. He said it was a sign. A few knew about it. First, Mary the Virgin. By the way, the Virgin is going to bring forth Christ this time, too. That's somebody who's not full of the seed of man. That's because they're virgins, right? So the virgin will know about it, because the man-child was born from their midst. Right? So the virgin's going to know about it. And these few shepherds in the field are going to know about it as a witness. Right? The angels went and called this witness. Amen? So, and then it goes on to say, but Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken unto them. And also, I just want to make a point while I'm here, down in verse 34, Simeon got to see the babe, and Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for a falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. So, this sign of Jesus coming to restore Israel is fulfilled in the coming of the man-child body to restore the church and the kingdom. And there will be a great falling away of those who do not believe, who may be in the church, but they do not believe what they see and what's coming. Remember, the church in Jesus' day was Israel. Some of them believed in him, some of them didn't believe in him. And he said, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. So those that believe on this coming of Jesus, on the personage of Jesus in the man-child who speaks to them and does miracles for them and heals their bodies and casts out demons and all these things, those that believe, they'll be rising. They'll be receiving the resurrection life of God. They'll be rising. Those that don't believe, like the Pharisees and their disciples who didn't believe, they'll be falling like a rock. And Jesus spoke to them in parables so they wouldn't understand it. And he said to his disciples, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. So guess what? Israel, natural, who didn't believe, fell. And the people who did believe were raised up. So there'll be this great falling of those who do not believe in the church. Because this is going to be a sign, just as it has with the bride. It's been a sign who is going to be in the bride. It's been a sign. Just as it was in Jesus' day. Okay, on with our text, verse 13. In the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, and in the places around about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks again pass under the hand of him that numbereth them, says the Lord. So the promised land is going to be filled with people coming out of Babylon, coming out of Babylonish religion, coming out of these religions that don't even look like the scriptures. Remember, the scriptures was given as an eternal covenant. No man can change them. He's Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. And he says if you add to his word, he'll add to you the plagues that are written in his book. And if you take away from his words, he'll take away your part from the tree of life. What he's saying is, you've got to have the same Christianity they had. If you've fallen away from it, it's your fault. You went into apostasy and were taken captive by the Babylonians, the harlot, and their false prophet leaders. So the people returning to Bible Christianity, the shepherds with their flocks, will be when Jesus returns in the man-child body by his word and spirit, which is the anointing. Jesus is coming in all of us in this way, by his word and by his anointing, by the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, you see. It just so happens that the first fruits are a little ahead of the rest because they're a leadership. They're leading the people. Moses came out of the wilderness and came in among God's people to take them out of Egypt and bring them to the same place that he was before. That's the mountain of God. That's the kingdom of God. He brought them to the mountain of God. He was already there. Now, the men that were in Egypt weren't already there. They'd never been there, so they can't lead anybody there. They'd never been there. Moses went in to lead them out. Moses was the man-child. 14, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will perform that good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and concerning the house of Judah, which is to lead them back to their promised land, to live on the promises of God. The righteous shall live from faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Well, most of the people of God, and especially their leaders, don't know what living by faith is. They bludgeon God's people with their own laws and rules and regulations and make them give to them, bringing them back under the law of the tithe. Because they don't have any faith. You don't see anybody in the New Testament who is leading God's people saying such things as these people say. You don't see any of them putting anybody under the tithe. Just an example, by the way. Okay, and the confirmation is the next verse. 15, in those days, and at that time, I will cause a branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. You see, there he is. That's the man-child body right there. A branch of righteousness. A branch is not one person. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branches take their sap out of the vine. In other words, we've got to get everything from Jesus. Got to get our word from him right out of his book, right? We got to get our spirit from him by his Holy Spirit, right? And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. All right, that's kind of like Zerubbabel, right? Yeah, he did that. He did just that. And that's what the man-child's going to do. Execute justice and righteousness in the land. For the people that are outside the land in Babylon, he's going to speak to them to come out. You remember when Ezekiel was called up to the throne of God, and then he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and then he was sent to the people in captivity. He went to speak to the people in captivity. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was speaking to people in captivity, to all the dead denominations of Judaism. They didn't know God. And guess what? A first fruits came out unto Jesus. And he called them his called out ones. Now when you speak to the people in the apostate church to come out, and they come out, then they can be called the real church, because church means the called out ones. So he wasn't talking to all of Judaism when he called them his church. It was just those that believed in him. That's right. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Jerusalem, of course, is the bride. We've seen the parables about the enemy trying to conquer the bride and failing. Not apostate Jerusalem. Apostate Jerusalem was always conquered, like it was conquered by Babylon. But when Assyria, which is another parable, came against the people of God, they conquered everybody but Jerusalem. They couldn't conquer Jerusalem. They were smitten, and they left it alone. And this is the name whereby she, I know some versions say he, but they just didn't follow the text. It's clear what the word is. They thought, oh, they must have made a mistake. No. And this is the name whereby she shall be called the Lord our. That means a bunch of people, right? Our righteousness, not one person. Our and she represents a corporate body, the corporate body of the man-child. Yes. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Well, does that mean now? Yes, it means now. He said, shall never want. Neither shall the priests and the Levites want a man before me to offer burnt offerings. Well, Israel can't offer burnt offerings, according to the law. But we have a continual burnt offering, and that's our own flesh that we put upon the altar in the fiery trial. Yes, we want the flesh to burn up, because the only thing that will be left will be Jesus, right? The spiritual man. The Levites, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to burn meal offerings and to do sacrifice continually. So who's the people of God? Since the natural Israelites who rejected Jesus have no continual burnt offering. The spiritual Israelites who did accept Jesus, and the natural Israelites who followed Jesus, like the apostles, they are and have a continual burnt offering. Okay. And then Eve said, maybe this Hurricane Irma, or hurricanes, because there's several of them now, is ushering in the man-child ministry, and it will begin on the 28th. Well, yeah, it could be. That could be so. Because the high priest is coming for the 29th/30th, whichever you decide is the correct date there for the atonement, the Day of Atonement. So she said, I asked Father for a word for this just now and received Isaiah 29:6. And my finger was on visited. Visited. She shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake. Oh my goodness. And that was a random asking the Lord to answer by faith. You know, she shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest. Now, we've had the whirlwinds and the tempest, haven't we? And there's some more still coming. And I believe after these, the earthquakes are going to come. And I believe we have a lot of witnesses of that. And the flame of a devouring fire. And there is a flame coming, too. So Eve said, wow. Yeah, I do, too. So after the hurricanes, the great earthquake comes. Because the covenant that divides Israel also ends up dividing the United States. Because God said that's what he was going to do if we divided Israel, right? And that's what the New Madrid is going to do, is divide the United States. And this earthquake comes with what? The visitation of the Lord. And in his spiritually resurrected man-child. Now think about this. Joseph came out of prison and became king over everything under Pharaoh. He came out of prison. Now, Joseph was a type of Jesus. Jesus came out of prison too, right? Sheol. And he became king over everything, right? So, what is the man-child coming out of? He's coming out of a prison. What is that? The womb of the virgin. Can't do much in there. He's coming out. He's going to be manifested to the world. He's going to begin his works, his ministry, so on and so forth. So we know that the earthquake, the second earthquake, the great earthquake, was the resurrection of the Lord. So that's the same thing as being caught up to the throne. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? It's the same thing as being caught up to the throne. The resurrection of the Lord is the sign of the resurrection of the man-child. And it happens at the great earthquake, which is the second earthquake. The first one's the East Coast. The second one is the New Madrid. Probably 3 days later, just like it was in the scriptures. Okay, then the tsunami, Red Sea, taking down of the deep state, as the woman and the man-child go into the wilderness, tribulation, right? Yeah, it's not just the deep state. It's the overthrow of kingdoms. Let me say, the kingdoms that agree to divide natural Israel, which is only a type and a shadow of the church, because that's the same thing they're trying to do with the church, exactly the same thing. Take us out of our land. They're trying to take our land from us. So, when they do this other sign, which is to divide Israel's land, take their land from them, God's going to send a great earthquake to divide America and to judge all the kingdoms that made that agreement, that pushed that agreement. And the man-child and the woman are going to go into the wilderness, which is the tribulation. So, let me say this. What we have seen for years is the earthquakes, tsunamis, fireballs. First of all, what brings these earthquakes? I do believe it's going to be Planet X passing. Even before it reaches Earth, it's going to be causing earthquakes. But as it passes in front of Earth, Earth passes through the tail, and we get these fireballs falling to the Earth. Many, many people have seen them for many years, that this was a judgment going to come on America, fireballs from the sky. Well, this is passing through the tail of Planet X, which has happened before. It's all written in ancient history, and the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Okay? And of course, the dragon that the Egyptians looked up and saw in the sky and wrote about, that was passing over, they called it the destroyer. Okay? And that was one of the names for Planet X, the destroyer, and the dragon is another name it was for. This is, I believe, what's going to bring the earthquakes and the fireballs afterwards, after the earthquakes. Okay? And these things are going to bring revival to the church. They're going to wake the church up. And And that's going to coincide with the man-child's ministry, because waking up is a part of receiving the truth and believing the truth and believing on the Jesus of the Bible and all these things. And this revelation the man-child has and the church doesn't. But now we're hearing things that we've known for years from others. Let me just share a few that I've looked at in the last week or so. A guy named John Finn received a visitation of the Lord in 2010. I never knew about it until just the last week or so. But see, these things are sent to me by people, and sometimes I have time to look at them, sometimes I don't. Well, I looked at this one, and the Lord appeared to him and told him the U.S. would be hit by 2 hurricanes and 3 major earthquakes. 2 hurricanes and 3 major earthquakes. This was back in 2010. Now, what's he calling major earthquakes? I believe it's the East Coast, the New Madrid, and the West Coast. And there are going to be lesser earthquakes, like the one in the Tennessee Valley, that is going to be used by God. Okay, that's, I believe, what he's talking about, the major earthquakes. And he said this would come after most of Obama's policies have been put in place. Okay, so that's happened. And so now the 2 hurricanes are supposed to be coming, right? Well, we've already seen one, and it's gnawing on Miami, or gnawing on the Florida already, you know. He said they would not be cleaned up from one disaster before the next one hit. In other words, just what we've heard in the past. Boom, 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 you know. One disaster following quickly on the heels of another. Think about it this way. The Lord wants to save his people. He's got to give them a pretty good jump start for to have them depart from the apostasy of their religions, which they're in idolatry with, and follow the man-child into the wilderness like they followed Moses into the wilderness. He's got to do something to get their attention. And with all the things that have come along that should have gotten the church's attention but did not, I would say 9-1-1 did for a few days, because a lot of people who knew about Jesus and knew what he expected ended up in church after that. But then shortly thereafter, they found out there was nothing there, so they left. So, yeah, people got the revelation of why they left in the first place, some of them. Others just were falling away because they were given over by sin, given over to sin. So, another one was a letter from a praying military friend of Lynn Liaz. And he said the first judgment would be hurricanes. He said the second would be earthquakes on both coasts. Notice, the Lord don't give everybody all of the revelation. It is both coasts. That's true. But he may not tell you the New Madrid too. He might just tell you on both coasts. It, you know, it's line upon line, here a little and there a little. You take everybody's revelations and fit them together and you got the truth. It's not just both coasts. It's the New Madrid, it's the Tennessee Valley, and it's other places that are going to have earthquakes. He said the West Coast quake would be a 9.1 foreshock of a 12.2 that would destroy everything. Oh my goodness, that's pretty bad. Now let me say this too. When the prophets go forth and give these major, major threats, and the people of God start praying, especially for their loved ones in these areas, or from this, for themselves in these areas, or for just the people who are to be the elect of God in these areas, you know. God hears those prayers, and quite often judgments don't come as bad as what the prophets say. And that's because God does hear our prayers. He will lessen some judgments, and some he will not take away. I asked after I saw that God was going to deliver us from Obama over to Trump. I said, will the earthquakes be done away too? And the Lord said, no. Okay. And this man said that the Lord told him the third would be a massive, unannounced tsunami to hit the East Coast. And water would come all the way to the mountains, half as high as the Empire State Building in New York. Well, he suggested some things. He said he didn't know, did not know what this came from, what caused this tsunami. He suggested maybe the Canary Islands, you know. But let me say this, if it happens in the Canary Islands, you're going to hear about it. It will be announced hours before it hits the East Coast. But if it's unannounced, it wouldn't be the Canary Islands. It would have to be from an asteroid. Do you know an asteroid can make a wave that goes so fast, hundreds of miles an hour? I think it would come from an asteroid that breaks up, as we have been shown. And he said the fourth judgment would be so terrible that he cannot tell it, but it would be the worst and would drive the church to its knees. Well, I believe that this is the fireballs falling to the earth after the earthquakes, because the earthquakes come before we pass through the tail of Planet X. Okay? So there's another witness. And then there was Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj. Who said three places in the United States are marked for massive earthquakes. He said the West Coast and the center, which is the New Madrid. And he didn't mention where the last one was, but we know it's the East Coast. So you see, the Lord just, you know, he puts the puzzle together, and that's what you have to do, is kind of assimilate. You know, he prophesied that Houston would be destroyed by a massive flood. I don't know, a few years ago. I don't remember exactly when. Which has happened. We also, you know, had dreams of that flood taking out that part of Texas. In fact, Eve had a dream about that. I may share that with you pretty soon again. That was many years ago. So, anyway, he said he advised his brethren to, quote, consecrate themselves in a 40-day fast. Well, that was interesting. You know, since we've just done that, I heard that and it kind of stuck out to me. And he said, if your life is right by September the 28th, that was another quote. And I thought, uh-oh, that's interesting. And then he said, you and your house will be saved. He said, the angels will come like with Lot to save you. Well, that's interesting, and I know that that's true because we've had dreams about that too, of the angels coming and ushering people to the safety, and to the refuge, and such things as that. We've had dreams like that. So again, we're trying to put together things that we think God's saying. If you have anything, maybe a dream or a vision or a revelation, that helps fit this puzzle together, please send it to us at the elders or Robin, you know, either way. You can send it to Robin. She'll send it to me. All right. Oh, I want to go back and look at the text where Paul spoke about this shaking that is coming. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I think I'm going to start in verse 14. Paul said, "Follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification, without which no man shall see the Lord." Notice, there was two things mentioned there. Follow after peace with all men. You don't have to make war on people that disagree with you. You don't have to be angry with anybody, unforgiving of anybody. You can have peace. You're commanded to have peace and to make peace. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, which is separation from the world unto God and His Word, right? And the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. No man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. Well, now these 10 days of repentance, you better get rid of any unforgiveness or you're not going to have a covering. Any man that falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. So if you got a root of bitterness, you're going to fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Now, people who have a root of bitterness, they defile many people. People who have faction, which is a root of bitterness, they defile many people. They're poison. That's why God made rules specifically for them. A factious person after first and second admonition, refuse. If you don't do that, they will defile you. I'm just telling you. They're speaking words that have a life that is ungodly. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." But the false people also have words that are life, but the life is ungodly. And the many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Now, we're seeing Esau getting a real whooping over there in the Middle East. And actually, both Putin and Trump are doing something right now about him, about to wipe him out in one particular area. Because they just would have no peace with their brother, Jacob, who is Israel. That who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. Now I believe God used that term because we can understand flesh. Even though meat doesn't really mean that there, it does to us in our language. People follow after the flesh. They're selling their birthright. You know, you who believe in Jesus, you have a birthright, but you'll sell it if you let a root of bitterness come into your heart against anybody. In Jesus' day, there was a root of bitterness and affection against Him. That's right. And it's happening with the man-child too. The dragon is seeking to devour the man-child, but he will fail. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Adokimos, reprobated. For he found no place for a change of mind, which is the word for repentance. A change of mind, and in his father, of course, is added in. But I don't believe it's supposed to be there, because they found no repentance. They could not repent. It wasn't a change of mind in his father, it was a change of their mind. He found no place for a change of mind, though he sought it diligently and with tears. Now, pay attention. For you are not come unto a mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, and unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest. And of course, you know, Moses and the people came to just such a mount, and it was a physical mount. But our mountain is not physical, it's spiritual. It's the kingdom of God. And remember that a stone rolled down out of the mountain that is the kingdom of God and smote the image of the beast in its feet, that is the 10 toes, that's the end time kingdom of the beast, the 10 kings, right? And crumpled the whole thing. So, and of course, Daniel goes on to say that it's the saints who are going to inherit the kingdom. They're going to destroy the kingdom of the beast. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. By the way, the 10 days starts with that trumpet. 10 days of repentance. And they did. The last day of repentance was the Day of Atonement. And by the way, they were fasting. So, you know, come on now. I mean, we didn't even figure this out until later. We said, wait a minute, this fits with Scripture, you know. The Lord just gave us a command and we did it right on time too. Praise the Lord. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them. They did not want God to speak with them, because when he spoke with them, they died. Well, that's the truth. When you read the word of God and you accept it as the word of God and God is able to speak to you, you die. Oh, praise God. But there are some people, rebellious people, that they don't want God to speak to them if it's going to cause them to die, if it causes them to have to give up their life. When he says, take up your cross and follow me, or you cannot be my disciple, then to take up your cross and follow him is to death. It's to die. See, some people don't want to obey the word, and they won't even read the word because they don't want to have to obey it. They like their life in this world. But that's very foolish, because we're coming to the 10 days of repentance, the last 10 days that you will be able to repent before the Day of Atonement, which is going to decide who's going into judgment and who's not. Did you get that? For they could not endure that which was enjoined. If even a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned. That was that physical mountain. And so, but it's a type of the spiritual mountain. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God. Now that wasn't the Zion that was. Paul said that that Zion, that physical Zion, was in bondage with her children. and answered to Hagar. I don't know why people are trying to glorify the natural people of God who have rejected Jesus Christ and have never been born again. That is so foolish. Yes, they were the chosen people of God, but now who are the chosen people of God? Those who repent and believe, and who have the atonement, and who have the continual burnt offering. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, wait a minute now. This is not a physical Jerusalem at all. This is the heavenly Jerusalem that's being born out of heaven. We're being born from above. The bride is one who is fully being born from above. And that's what makes her Jerusalem. Remember that John got a revelation that this Jerusalem that was coming down out of heaven was the bride. And to innumerable hosts of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now remember, back in those days, the church was the called out ones. They weren't in any of the denominations of Judaism, right? They came out to follow Jesus. The church, called out ones, of the firstborn, Jesus, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all. So, you know, you can't see God, and they couldn't see this city, and they couldn't see the mountain, because it's not a physical one. It's a spiritual fulfillment of the natural. Remember, parables are natural things that speak of spiritual things. Jesus talked about planting corn. He wasn't telling everybody to go out and plant corn. He was talking about how to reproduce. Right? Okay. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So we've come to this. Now that's a spiritual thing, you know. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. And by the way, you don't have an old covenant. Stop going under the old covenant. It's just a parable. Notice that every time Jesus or his disciples drug something from the old covenant into the new covenant, they interpreted it. They interpreted the parable. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, if we read on down, you see he's talking about those that speak on earth and his words from heaven. Now, God's got people warning on this earth right now. I'm warning you about these 10 days leading up to the atonement, the Day of Atonement. And the judgments that are going to come to pass. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him from heaven. That warneth wasn't in there. But turn away from him from heaven, right? Whose voice then shook the earth. So, we have this word from God, this word from heaven, this manna that came down out of heaven that gives life to the world, that Jesus said was himself. These words of he is the word of God, right? We have this warning from heaven, and we have warnings from those who speak on earth. He said, listen. If you refuse, you'll be judged. You will not escape. That's what he said. Whose voice then shook the earth. Is there a shaking coming? Yes, he's fixing to tell us. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. Oh, yes, and we know what's going to do it in the heaven, and we know, and the word heaven there is singular, and we know what's going to do it on the earth. Yet once more, I will make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And of course, I believe he's referring to Haggai chapter 2. And this word, yet once more, in Haggai it says, yet once, and then again, right? Yet once more signifieth the removing of those, the word things was not in there, it's not in the numeric. So we have to read it this way, the removing of those that are shaken. Those that are shaken. He's talking about people. What is going to shake people? Well, of course, these things that God has prophesied are coming. They're going to shake people. They're going to bring a great revival. Some are not going to refuse the warning. They're going to have the fear of the Lord, and they're going to be spared. Some are going to refuse the warning, just as we just got through reading, and they will not escape. Remember Noah? He warned. God showed us an ark in the land. That's right. Going to be used to save people too. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those that are shaken. The removing. What is faction? Faction is removing people. The removing of those that are shaken. As of, and then the word things was not in there. As of. In fact, I don't believe, now, that have been was not in there. Of made, of the things that are made. Talking about the things that are made by men. All of the things that you think could be the kingdom out there that are made by men are going to be shaken down. The religions are going to come to nothing. Their temples will come to nothing. Their idols will all be judged. Everything that's made by man can be shaken down. The things that are not made with men's hands, like the temple of God, which is the people of God, right? The kingdom of God, which is a spiritual mountain, not a physical mountain, these cannot be shaken. That those which are not shaken may remain. Who will not be shaken? It's because things was not in there. Those which are not shaken may remain. He's talking about the removal of some from the kingdom. Just as Jesus gave in his parables, angels go forth to gather out of his kingdom all them that cause stumbling and do iniquity. Gathering them out, the tares. Gathering them into bundles to burn them. Well, you know, a lot of these tares believe they're Christians. But they don't know what a Christian is, according to the Bible. They don't believe and repent. They think that's just a one-time thing. That's all they needed to do, and now they're a shoe-in, you know. Well, how come we got these 10 days of repentance coming, right? In fact, we've been doing it here for, you know, over 20 days now. And we got these 10 days still coming. But we just obeyed the Lord in the fast. And of course, some of you out there heard our teachings and heard our warning and are doing the same thing. So the things that are not shaken will remain. And guess what? By the end close to the end of Revelation 11, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. See, in this way, God is going to totally shake everything that can be shaken. Wherefore, receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire, and the fire does follow the earthquakes and the tsunami. So, we've got these shakings coming that are going to wake some people up. Because many of God's people have a core of conscience that if they knew the truth, they would do something with it. Yes, everybody's at guilt for being willfully ignorant, but God will forgive all that if when they get the warning and the shaking, they repent. God will forgive them of their past. And I do pray that these words of repentance, I believe, are from the spirit of John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, I believe is moving in the earth today. And this is going to be followed by the man-child ministry. Because those who hearken unto the warning, and those of God's people who see the signs and the wonders of the man-child and repent and come out from among them, as did happen with the early disciples, you read the story of the Gospels and you think, how crazy can these people be that they don't understand who this is? This Jesus. Well, that's what faction does to people. You know, they slandered the Lord. They spoke against Him. They spoke against the Holy Spirit. And they were being increasingly demon-possessed when they did this, because they had no forgiveness from God. So He turned them over to a reprobate mind that they would do those things that are not fitting. They refused to have God in their knowledge. As Paul said in Romans. And so He turned them over to a reprobate mind. You know, when you have a trial as a Christian, you have an opportunity to obey the word in that trial or to deny the Lord. If you deny the word, you're denying the Lord. There's no difference. You have an opportunity to do this. Now, that's a fiery trial. And if you let the flesh get burnt up, you've put it on the altar and you're saying, I'm going to obey God. I know it appears that obeying the world would prosper me, but I know better. I know the Word. I'm going to obey God. You know what happens? That flesh burns up right there. You just put it on the altar and it's burning up. And you won't have to continually deal with that if you'll take up your cross and follow Jesus. So, we're going to have lots of decisions to make. Every time you make one right, you're going to have less of you and more of Him. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because in tribulation, you have these choices to make. You can obey God, or you can obey your flesh. If you obey your flesh, you're snatching it off the altar. If you obey God, you're leaving it on the altar to burn up, so that you'll have less of you and more of Him. And so, some people have for many years put their flesh on the altar. And these are going to be the first fruits to come to repentance and faith and power and anointing of Jesus Christ. Make your decisions wisely. Listen to those that warn on earth, and listen to Him who warned from heaven. Make your decisions, submit to the Lord. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, many people, they go through their life, planning their life, because they know what they want to do. They make these plans. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Paul said, all who do such glorying, are sin, you know. We're not to say what we're going to do tomorrow. That's us making plans. We're to say, if the Lord wills. So everything has got to be, if the Lord wills, everything. And let me share this with you. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, or from above, is the real wording there. The Greek, from above, born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless somebody's born from above, they can't see the kingdom of God. Born from above is a progressive thing. It's first spirit, and then soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. And then ultimately, if you've been born again in your soul, you can have a born again body. All right? So it's a progressive thing. The scripture teaches this. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of spirit. You know, water is the word of God, the washing of the water with the word of God. Paul called it in Ephesians, right? And the spirit, born of the spirit. So God uses the Spirit and the Word to cause you to be born from above. Except one be born of water and Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Are we entering the kingdom of God? We should be every day entering the kingdom of God. We're climbing that mountain. And it'll be 30, 60, and 100-fold. As Jesus said. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So he's not talking about being born of the flesh. Nicodemus was mistaken. He's talking about being born of the spirit. Then he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born anew, or from above. Then he says, the Spirit bloweth where it will. My translation says, the wind bloweth where it will, but it's the same words. The Spirit breatheth where he will. And thou hearest a voice thereof, but knowest not whence it cometh. So here's a voice coming out of heaven. And you don't know where it's coming from, or whither it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know what? The people of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. A guy that's born of the Spirit of God, or led by the Spirit of God, doesn't know what he's going to do tomorrow. He doesn't know until the Lord shows him. Jesus' brothers, you know, wanted to go to the feast, and they told him he ought to go show himself at the feast. He said, your time is always. Meaning, they always did what they wanted to do. They weren't led of the Spirit of God. Everybody that's born of the Spirit is like the wind blowing. You don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going to. And these people, sometimes people think they're undecisive. No, they're not. They're just waiting to hear from God. The people of the world who are not born of the Spirit do things because they want to do things. They decide. They make decisions to do this, to do that, to go here, to go there. All such glorying is evil. So, we are learning to hear the voice of the Spirit of God from heaven and obey Him. And we're learning to hear the voice of the Spirit of God through men who speak and to obey the Lord. It's just like the prophets who spoke, you know. Now, I know the false prophets are 400 to 1, just like they were, but and so you have to be familiar with the voice of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. You read the Word so that you're so familiar with His voice that you can hear His voice and follow Him. There is no prosperity to the people who are building their own house. We just read that, Haggai chapter 2. No prosperity, no blessing. They're just banging their head against the wall. And they're making something that's going to be totally burned up. It's not going to endure the shaking or the burning. It's not going to last. It's useless. Oh, well, it might have made a few people rich, sure, but then they'll have to pay for what they stole from God's people. So, obey the voice of God. Obey His Word. Listen intently to the voice that came from heaven, this Word right here. Obey it. Obey it even if a man speaks it. Obey it. It's the Word of God. And repent of everything during these days leading up to judgment. The judgments are going to come on those who haven't eaten all of the lamb, who don't believe in Psalm 91. Who don't have a Passover lamb. We have a Passover lamb as our sacrifice. But everybody does not have a sacrifice. They're ignoring the atonement. Everybody that does not forgive. Everybody that is rebellious and goes their own way. They're doing their own thing. They don't care what God wants. Or they'd spend more time in the Word, because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Everything you need will come to you. It doesn't matter if it has to come supernaturally. It will come to you. 2x in recent times, I asked the Lord for money for a certain need. And I've always sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness since I was a baby Christian. Because I was so hungry, I just was running after God, trying to find out how it was I could please Him and how it was I could follow Him. And I've never had a need that He didn't answer it. If it was for a house, He gave me a house. If it was for a car, He gave me a car. If it didn't matter what it was. So I asked for this need. And it was either the same day or the next day that Brother Leon was here, and his brother had come to visit him, and he asked me for a sheet. A sheet so his brother could cover up with it. And I said, well, okay, I got one in my drawer. So he followed me into my bedroom, and I opened the drawer. I pulled out a sheet, stuck it in his hand. He turned to walk off with it. I looked down in the drawer, and there was a wad of money in there. I knew I didn't put any money in there. So I counted it, and it was $8,500. And it met the need that I had asked the Lord for just hours before, you know. Okay, a little while later, another need came up. So I asked the Lord. He said, go shove your hand under your mattress. I said, Lord, there's no money under my mattress. He said, go shove your hand under your mattress. So I shoved my hand under my mattress. I just happened to pick the right spot because God just put it in my mind. So, I mean, I shoved my hand under my mattress, and there was a wad of money in my hand. Now, I knew there was nothing under there. I said, no, Lord, there's no money under there. I pulled it out, and guess what? It was $8,500. I've had money appear in my pocket. I walk by faith. I don't store up money in the bank. I don't store it up. You know, if you walk by faith, you get to have miracles every day. I asked the Lord one time how the banksters were going to, because we had a dream like that, how was the banksters going to come and try to find the money that we had? And they couldn't find it. I asked the Lord, how come they couldn't find it? And so I realized, oh, it's because God's going to give it to me as I need it. He can make it out of thin air. He can put it in your pocket. He can put it in your wallet. But you see, he said he will supply your every need according to his riches and glory. And I believe that because I've lived that way for many, many years. And he's given me a lot more money than that before, you know. But I learned that there are always people that want to steal it. The thieves, you know, they want to steal it. So I like the way that God provides for you, you know. And he will never fail you. He will supply your every need. He will bless you. He will meet your needs. So put your trust in him in the days to come because, you know, you're not going to be able to live by the flesh pots of Egypt. You couldn't sacrifice to the Lord in Egypt. That's what Moses said. Because they had a government endowment, you see. But going out in the wilderness, it's very easy to sacrifice to the Lord. Because you're walking by faith, and the righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. There are a lot of people that they're living in the flesh, they're walking in the flesh. They know what they're going to do tomorrow. They know how they're going to do it. Why don't you try asking God for those things that you think you have to save up your money for? Or why don't you ask God for those things and believe him for those things now rather than go borrow the money? Or why don't you ask God to heal your body rather than go to a doctor who charges you so much? Because that's not grace. Grace is unmerited, unearned. Right? It's not grace. It's not why Jesus healed. Jesus healed by grace. Everything he did was by grace. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Right? So, we need to repent. We need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, and we need to obey and follow him. And if he spoke a word, we need to rely on that word to come to pass. That's what it is to stand on the promised land and not in Babylon. In Babylon, they got their doctors and lawyers and bankers and everything. Take care of it. We'll take care of you. You don't have to trust God. We'll take care of you. Well, that's why you have to leave Egypt and go into the wilderness, right, to sacrifice to God. We're going to learn faith in God in the days to come. But there's going to be such tremendous provisions coming from God too, because we're building His kingdom and not because we're building man's kingdom. The Lord doesn't dwell in temples made with man's hands, He said. Everybody's so excited about the Jews building a temple. If they build a temple, He will not enter it. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor does He dwell in these religious, false Christian denominations or non-denominational denominations that are made by men who have their own angle on everything. And usually it's to prosper them and not you. We have to repent in these days and follow the Lord now. There will be those that will go out into the wilderness, and there will be those that stay by the flesh pots. And there will be those that go out in the wilderness and get tested, and then they want to go back to the flesh pots. And they'll die in the wilderness. We know the types and shadows. They'll die in the wilderness. They won't make it to the promised land. Well, Father, Lord, we ask You to show us more, Lord. You know, we just know in part. But we ask You to show us more. We ask You to put the big puzzle together for us, Lord. And thank You so much for bringing all the pieces. And we just praise You and thank You, Father. Please bless us to understand and grant us repentance, Lord, in these days. Lord, we fast because we want to be heard of You. We want You to hear our prayers. We're drawing close to You, Lord, because that's what we desire. And we don't mind sacrificing the old flesh to do it. So thank You, Father, for Your goodness and Your kindness to us and drawing us. Thank You for granting us repentance. And yes, come, Lord Jesus. Come in Your epiphany, Your shining forth of the glory of God from Your people. Come in Your epiphany, Lord, and so that we may go when the parousia happens. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your mighty kindness to us and drawing us unto Yourself. You could have drawn others. You could have given others grace. We are what we are by Your grace, Lord. We can be nothing except man-made without Your grace, Lord. So we come to You and ask for this mercy. We ask for this mercy, our Lord and God, to deliver us from evil, deliver us from the flesh, grant us repentance in these days leading up to this atonement, this day of atonement. And Lord, many are not going to recognize Your Son when He comes this time, just like they didn't the last time, because He'll be hidden in flesh, just like He was the last time. And He said that He was going to come again as a baby born to a woman in John 16. But He had already been born from a woman, so He must have been talking about a repetition of history. And Lord, we see that in Revelation 12, the repetition of history, except on a larger scale, because there's more people to deal with. So we thank You, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, thank You for granting us repentance and turning us to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, saints, and good night.